I forgot today. I wore this sweater. I thought, oh, it's going to be a great day for a sweater, but I can't put this in my pocket. So I don't know what I'm going to set it here, and I hope we get a good recording. It looks like it's picking it up fine, but y'all know you can go out to the website and watch these. Okay, today we're going to be counseling stress. We're going to be talking about stress, but we're also going to be talking about a number of its cousins, things like worry, anxiety, and fear, because what we see is that these are emotions, and they all sort of are involved in the same things and can be handled in similar ways. Before I go, I just wanted to put a reminder up here. I always try to do this, put a reminder of what we talked about last week, about the difference between guilt and false guilt, and how guilt leads us to the cross, and how false guilt leads us to literally hell on earth. So if you have questions about that, just be sure to see me. Okay, stress. Does that picture, or those pictures, does that remind any of you of anything in your life? You just walked in, Phil, and said, pressure, pressure, I'm overwhelmed. There it is. Whether it's money or health or what's he worrying about? Life. He's just worried about life. Traffic. Anger in a marriage. And too many things to do. Stress is a part of everybody's life. Everybody has stress. There's not anybody who doesn't have stress. Let me just tell you, I was going to ask Dan to come up and tell us this, but stress is a term used by engineers to describe two things at work: the combination of force applied to a material and the strength required to resist that pressure. And I put a little chart up here because I thought it was kind of cool. This is about elastic and plastic behavior. And if you look at this little chart, think about a rubber band. And you have a little rubber band, and then you grab it, and you start exerting force on it. And then you let go of it, and it goes right back to its shape. That's elasticity. But at some point, it stops being elastic. If you pull a little bit harder and you let go of it, it doesn't come back. It might partially come back, but it's now out of shape. It has become plastic. And finally, you pull, and it breaks. And so there's always a breaking point. And I'm sure everybody in here, in one way or another, in things in their life, have been to that breaking point where I cannot take it anymore. Okay? So the stress of these combined forces in engineering, but also in us, it can change us. In materials, it can make them stronger, actually, can't it? You can do some, like the old guys that used to beat the steel and fold it and beat the steel to make the harder blades. You can, by stress, you can make things stronger. But when the external force exceeds the internal strength, the result is a breaking point. And that's what we're talking about here. Okay, stress, what is it? When we talk about it, we're referring to its effect on humans. We're referring to how it affects us. We're talking about specifically when it becomes excessive or negative pressure on us, mental or emotional strain or tension, right? So those kind of things, everybody's with me. We know exactly what we're talking about here. Stress is common when demands for our time and attention seem to be unending, when our jobs, health, family, friends, ministry activities can overwhelm us. Let me try it there. Stress is not specifically mentioned in the Bible. Think about this. That word is not in the Bible anywhere. But it does speak of things that are very related to stress. Things like anxiety and worry and fear and trouble and tribulation and trials and difficulties and whatever. Things we often associate with stress, right? So we're going to find how the Bible will have us deal with stress. What do we think God's purpose for stress is? God's stress, it can be several things, but he can use stress to show us what we haven't surrendered to him. You know, he can allow things to happen in our lives in order to nurture us in a stronger relation with him. How many times have you had something happen in your life and all of a sudden you think, the only place I can turn is to the Lord, and it actually draws you closer to him, okay? He also wants to show you when you're not yet focused on the eternal. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Think about that. That's a promise for everybody in this room. When you think, I cannot take it, God has already promised you that you can. He won't let you have anything more than you can handle. But as you submit to his leading, he continues. He's using this to continue to form you into the image of Christ. If we were left to our own devices, never had any stress in this world, picture a stress-free world, how would I ever get conformed to the image of Christ? If there's nothing pushing on me, if there's nothing shoving me, if there's nothing moving me in the direction of having to become more Christ-like, if I didn't have stress, it wouldn't be happening to me. His purpose. What will happen is you're going to react to stress much like metal reacts to stress. Stress can strengthen you. Everybody has examples of that in their life, don't they? Where what doesn't kill you won't... I mean, what the hell do they say?
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It'll make you stronger, that's right. Stress can increase your ability to grow and persevere, or stress can break you. So that's what it can strengthen you, or it can help you grow, or it can break you. So how you respond to stress reveals your understanding about God. If you take stress, if you get so stressed, and your reaction to it is, I got to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go over here and do this, and I'm going to tell this person this, and you're taking control of it, and you're going to fix it, and whatever. What's it doing? It's driving you farther from God. The stress has become between you and God. Your prayer life diminishes. Okay, your relationship with God is affected. That's one thing. What does that say about your faith in your Creator God, your Savior God? If you're not relying on Him, it's saying, I don't trust God to solve this problem for me. Okay? But if you allow stress to press you closer to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't handle this. I have to give this to you. I'm trusting you that you will work it out. And what's God going to do? What's He always going to do? He's going to work it out for good. Maybe not today, maybe not even in this lifetime, but you just need to trust Him. So stress can reveal whether you truly are trusting the Lord or you are trusting in yourself. You know this verse from James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. This, you know, the first time, think back the first time you ever read that. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. And I thought, that's impossible. When I face trials, I'm frustrated or angry or whatever. But let me just tell you, when you face trials, here's what you know. God is working in you. That's why it's joy. What if you never faced any trials? That could mean God has just turned you over to your sin, right? You see what I'm saying? Okay. There. As you look at stress, this I'm going to do this very quickly, but I thought it was kind of instructive that I didn't invent this, but there's four stages to stress. Stress. Think about a traffic light. If there's no light. That this person I read this from said, get a life. With insufficient stress, if you don't have enough stress in your life, you don't have any purpose. Because think about it, if you're purposeful, you're going to be bringing stress on your life. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have insufficient stress, you're just sitting there. You don't have any purpose, nothing matters. You avoid responsibility, you're not productive, you're not energetic, you have poor relationships with other people. You lack any sort of perspective on life, and you can experience depression. Do you know that person? Do you know people like that? Have you even been like that? This is common. Do you know that person? We got 90 million people in our country today. We are at a 3% unemployment rate. We have 90 million working-age people that do not work in this country. There's a lot of people that are like this. Then there's the green light. This is God's will for us. If you're living with green light stress, you got to have some stress. But it's positive stress. Then you will have purpose and you will be working to fulfill a purpose. Things will matter to you. You will face your responsibility and deal with them. You're productive, energetic. You have responsible relationships. You have a positive perspective on life. You're enthusiastic and positive. Is that you? I will tell you, that's me. Do you agree with that? I'm looking at my wifey poo. Yeah, this is where I live. Look, this is a choice. This is a choice. You can live right there. Then there's the yellow light. All right, so now you're getting the warnings about stress. Mounting stress can bring warnings, physical warnings, tension headaches, muscle aches, blood pressure, ulcers, lack of sleep or too much sleep, lack of concentration, indecisiveness, irritability. Think about when you get stressed. You've been there. Everybody gets there. You get to where just, I can't handle it. I just have too much. The last 2 weeks, for whatever reason, I've had a lot of things going on, and I've gotten myself to that point twice where I just went to Lainey and said, I have so much going on here, I just can't decide what to do next. Indecisiveness. That you let this stress overwhelm you. And finally, you get to the red light, the breaking point. This is not God's will for anyone. This person is not processing stresses in a godly way. He in a sense, goes back. He becomes purposeless. He becomes overwhelmed by his responsibility. He's productive, but he's minimally productive because he's frozen. He's easily fatigued. He can't concentrate. I recognize these things. He's indecisive. He withdraws from relationships. He's irritable. He's confused about life. And he gets depressed. He has a lack of enthusiasm, and he gets depressed. So it was just an interesting way to look at stress. Our focus today is on counseling stress. Okay? So it's on counseling stress, but we're going to look at other emotions as well that are dealt with in the Bible. If you think about worry, anxiety, and fear, they're very much like stress. The Bible does address those three, doesn't it? So I wanted to bring them into this so that we can have a way to get a solid biblical reference. The first thing you need to know is that all four of these things, getting stressed, are emotions. They're emotions. Emotion, this description I think is good, a good definition. An instinctive feeling as opposed to knowledge or reasoning. Okay? If I know God's Word and I'm able to work with it and reason from it, that's one way to approach stress. But if I'm just dealing with my feelings, I'm just dealing at the emotional level, aren't I? It's what my feelings tell me to do. So, emotions arise in the mind. Remember the immaterial man that we talked about. Not physical, you can't touch it, you can't break it, you can't hit it with a hammer. But it is very, very real. It is the immaterial man. And emotions are mental responses to something, and I use this word unwanted, but think about what I'm talking about. First of all, it's something that could be real, like a serious disease. I just had tests for such and such a disease, and I'm going to get my results next week, and I can get paralyzed with fear or with worry about what are those results going to tell me. But it's a real problem. But I'm out in the future thinking about it. It could be potential, such as, gee, I've interviewed for that job, but am I going to get it? I don't know. And I'm, oh my gosh, and the world will fall apart if I don't get it. You start worrying about something out there. Or it can be imagined. Daddy, I got monsters under my bed. You know? Everybody who has kids remembers that. So. But whatever the thing is, the thing carries no emotion. The thing is a thing, right? You can write that down if you want to. The thing is a thing. The emotional response is in the individual's mind. And let me give you proof of that, because you know this is true. You remember, Phil, we did a thing a couple weeks ago where I said, you and I got fired from the same job. Remember that? And I said, but your reaction was you were going to go out and clean up your resume and go get a job. And my reaction was, same thing, same exact same situation, but I was going to go get a gun and shoot the guy who fired me. Because we react to the same thing. You and I react to the same thing in different ways. We all do, because it's emotional. There isn't any knowledge, there isn't anything rational in there. It is emotional. It is my reaction to something that is happening to me. Do you see? So now let's look at what I mean by all these emotions. We were talking about worry, anxiety, and fear. Worry is an emotion of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. You agree? That's what worry is. But anxiety. So what's this? Worry is an emotion of anxiety. Anxiety is an emotion of worry. They're very closely related. An anxiety of worry or unease about an imminent event or uncertain outcome. Fear is an emotion caused by feeling that someone or something is dangerous or a threat. Everybody with me? But look at all these other things floating around. You know, angst and agitation and concern and alarm and doubt and dismay and tension. But what do they all do? What do they all do? If I get worried, it increases my stress, doesn't it? It affects my stress. Anxiety or angst or panic, they all affect my stress. Stress is an emotion that feels that the demands on the individual exceed the individual's resources for handling those demands. Do you get that? That's what stress is. Stress is you look at whatever's before you and you say, I don't have the resources to handle this. Okay, I don't know what to do. I can't get it all done. You see that? So all of these things are coming to bear on stress. So there are very important similarities among these four. For example, all of these have in common that generally they look to the future. Now, not always, but generally they're looking to the future. We're letting these emotions control us over things that haven't even happened yet. How many of you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to be thinking about this. You allow worry, stress, fear, anxiety many times to control you, control the way the world looks to you, and it's over things that haven't even happened yet. They are focused on my circumstances and myself. Think about it. What do you... Now, sometimes when I'm worrying about my children. But that's part of myself too, isn't it? I'm not trusting God. I'm worried about my circumstances and myself. And they are sins. Okay? You know, he says, do not be anxious for nothing. He says, be strong and courageous and do not fear. God gives commands about don't do these things. They're sins. But why are they sins? Because they demonstrate a lack of faith in sovereign God. We have a choice, folks. We can either trust God as he asks us to, demands us to, commands us to, demonstrates why we should do it. The Bible is full of trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean on your own understanding. I mean, do not lean on your own. Okay, erase that tape and do that over again. So it's not that we haven't been told these things. It's that we don't do these things. We get, in the heat of the moment, we want to take control ourselves, don't we? Don't we? Okay? So each of these kinds of things can arise independently. You can, have a skunk come running into your house, and you don't need to have stress and worry. You've got fear. Okay, so they can arise independently. But they also can arise and start feeding off of one another. You know, so investigating stress and talking about stress will help us grasp the kind of counseling challenges we might face counseling these other kinds of emotions. You see? So that's why we're going to pick on stress today, but we could have done it with pretty much anything. Okay. Let me start. I'm going to do this chart, and then you're going to see it later again. But I'm going to say that stress is a question.
You went too forward.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Let's see. I missed this one. Okay. Well, that next chart you're going to see, you're going to really like it. That would be just such a hurry. Satan loves your emotions, doesn't he? We've talked about this in several of the classes. Remember, emotions originate in the mind, the immaterial. So we said, worry is an emotion of anxiety and uncertainty. Anxiety is an emotion of worry and unease. Fear is an emotion caused by a feeling of danger. And stress is an emotion that my demands are too much. Satan is prowling around, right? Especially around your emotions. Why? Because they're not grounded in the truth. They're not grounded in anything objective. They're just your feelings. And he can look at your feelings, and he knows, what is he looking for? He's looking to see where you're vulnerable. Can he see where you're vulnerable? You bet he can. Okay, he loves to take any weakness and exploit it. He loves to deceive you about yourself. Oh my goodness. When we start worrying about things, well, why should that person treat you that way? That's Satan speaking to you. You deserve better than that. You hear all this talk in your head? You have these rights. You deserve this, et cetera, et cetera. He is deceiving you about yourself. Let's remember what we've talked about those things. What is it that you deserve?
Nothing.
Hell. You deserve death and hell. That's it. What rights do you have?
None.
None. Just if you can find me the verse where God says you have a right to X, then I'll change my mind. But it's not in there. It's not in there. We're to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily, right? We're to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. Give ourselves away. So Satan loves this because I don't want to give myself away. I'm important. I'm big. I'm smart. I can do this and do that. Come on. And Satan just feeds that fire. Just feeds that fire. So, hey, that's a good looking chart right there. Satan's deception, among his deceptions, is trust in yourself. Okay, you know, you only live one life, right? Go for the gusto. You can do it. Everything you need is inside of you. Let me tell you, you can have your best life now, right? You know who said that? Osteen. That's, you can have your best life now. If you trust in yourself, say what?
No.
Oh. If you trust in yourself to manage your life, then here's what you're trusting in. A mortal, finite sinner who cannot control anything. That's you. You trust in a man who cannot deliver the outcomes you think you deserve. That's you. Your disobedience and sin produce stress, and they cut you off from the only source of joy and peace you have in this world. If you're holding on to sin, you are damaging your relationship with the Lord, and it's cutting you off from your source of joy and peace. If you trust in yourself, your stress increases. Well, think about it. What did Christ tell us? In the world, you have tribulation. Not you might or someday it may. No. Why has He given us the tribulation? To conform us more to Christ. Tribulation is good for us. You will have tribulation. But if you're trusting in yourself, let me tell you what you're doomed to have. Uncertainty, risk, and disappointment. They are going to be constantly with you. Because what you think you're trusting yourself for, you can't deliver. Is that too convoluted? Are you all following that? The world's cure for stress, worry, anxiety, whatever, is things, is medication, it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's dissension, it's isolation, it's violence. How do those sound as cures for worry? No. But how many people in this country resort, go back to alcohol and drugs to get rid of this terrible feeling they have inside of them? The disappointments and the... Yeah. I mean, it's a downward spiral. You're going to have tribulation, and that means you're going to have more. And it will just feed your stress. And on and on. And there you are. Doesn't it look like something out of the Twilight Zone or something? But I just love that little picture. Okay. I'm going to go through this real quickly, but I just want you to remember the kind of things that cause stress in us, the circumstances that cause stress. Remember, we get stressed about our circumstances. Conflicts, just unresolved anger in relationships or lack of open communication. Any kind of change. You're someplace and you get demoted in a job or you get a new boss. Changes in control cause stress in us. Changes in employment, health, or location. Crisis, divorce, separation, financial setbacks, illness, traumas of any kind. All of these things cause setbacks, cause stress. Concerns, the future. It's just such a huge thing that we worry about. Fear of failure. Ever had that one? You can have fear of failure all your life. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? And you can't control what's going to happen tomorrow, can you? What you can do, the only thing you can do, is trust God that He is with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, right? Any kind of condemnation, you make a mistake and everybody piles on. Or you get lack of support from coworkers. Pet peeves. Who read Screwtape letters? Anybody read Screwtape letters? Think about Screwtape and Wormwood, how he kept telling Wormwood, just make him focus on his mother-in-law's eyebrow, how she would lift her eyebrow. And it finally got to where it drove him absolutely insane. But look, these aren't really the real problems, are they? These are the circumstances. But they're not the real problems. Do you remember the iceberg? Okay, everybody who's here for the iceberg is, this is a something that would have to do with really counseling this issue. I'm not going to go through this because we did it before, but here's your iceberg. And there are three levels of problems. And I'm not saying every time, but generally when somebody comes into you for counseling or when you're looking at yourself in the mirror for counseling, generally the first thing that you talk about is not really the problem. I'm so stressed that I can't function. I need help. I'm so stressed I can't function. If I right then take you to Philippians 4:6 and say, be anxious for nothing, there I've told you what to do, go do it. Have I solved the problem? No. Because I didn't solve the cause of the problem. Okay, stress, yes, it's a sin, but we got to get deeper than that. So now you get to talking and you find out, well, I got a new job and I'm afraid they're going to fire me. Okay, now we're a little closer to the truth, aren't we? But we're still not quite there. Why is he afraid of that? You see, you have to figure out why This is a sin, I'm afraid, okay? But, because why? I'm too stressed, I'm not trusting God, I'm afraid I'm not trusting God, but we've got to get down deeper. We've got to get down to the what is that bottom called? What are they calling an iceberg? You have the tip of the iceberg and you have the surface level, it's just the bottom. I don't know. But anyway, you got to get down to the bottom. And so maybe in our discussions, what we find is this guy finally says, look, all my life I've just had a strong need for approval. I have to have people approve me. I have to have people think I'm doing a great job. It's very important to me that I have that. And to gain approval, I got to work longer and harder than anybody. And if I'm going to succeed, it's up to me. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but do you see all three of those are a sin as well? Who's your approval from?
God.
What if Ray approves of me, what good is that going to do me if I drop over here dead right now? Nothing. That's not where I go for my approval. I go for my approval from the Lord. And how do I know I'm approved by the Lord? By loving Him, right, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and obeying Him. Trying to give Him glory in everything that I do. And I fail miserably, but that He knows where my heart is. He knows that's what I'm trying to do. So, a strong need for approval. I'm needing approval in men, which will lead me to do things that are not godly, such as I'm just going to work myself longer and harder and harder. We're going to talk about that in a minute on another chart. But if I'm sacrificing family and other responsibilities to work hard to get somebody, some man's approval, that's a sin. God doesn't want me to do that. And finally, if I'm going to succeed, it's up to me. And the sin you're going to find, you're going to trace it, and you're going to find out that it's in his definition of success. Because what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Most people's definition of success is in that sentence, you see? So, but my point being, stress isn't the real problem. If you came to me today and said, I'm so stressed, I can't stand it, I can't help you until we've talked more about where is the root cause of that problem. So, okay, these I'm going to run through reasonably quickly, but this is the kind of stuff I said Satan tries to deceive you. Here's the thing. If you're struggling with stress or you're talking to a brother or sister that's struggling with stress, you may find lies like these that are at the root of the problem. The more I do for God, the more He'll love me. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are people who absolutely believe that. But God already loves you perfectly and completely. Trying to get more of God's love is only going to do one thing. It's going to cause stress in you. You see that? And there's the verse to back it up, that verse from Galatians. Line number two, I'm going to lose God's love if I fail. No, God's love is everlasting. Don't worry about that. It's worrying way out in the future someplace. The Lord appeared in the past. I have loved you with an everlasting love, out of Jeremiah. Line number three, when I'm not pleasing God, I feel His condemnation. Feel is a big red flag, isn't it? I feel His condemnation. God doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. Just one second. He condemns the sin, right, that has you in bondage and destroys your peace and joy. He condemns the sin, not you. I'm afraid if I fail, God will punish me. God doesn't punish believers. Do you know that? God disciplines believers. He doesn't punish you. And the discipline is for your own good, just like a loving father. Worrying about His punishment, worry is what? It's a sin. To burn out for a cause is admirable. I know those people. I've actually had counseling sessions with people who think this. God doesn't applaud burnout, only balance. You've got responsibilities in work and rest and play and family and church and prayer and on and on. Burnout is the fast track to stress, isn't it? Think about it. Okay, I'm not serving God if I'm not seeing tangible results. That was me when I became a Christian. I was going to come witness to you, and by golly, I was going to convert you, or we were going to have a fight. I'm serious. I just thought, you know, I had come from being a salesman, and I thought, oh, this is just another sales job. Wrong. So, you are not responsible for God's timing, and you're not responsible for God's harvest. Trying to do God's job will drive you crazy. Okay? If I don't do everything I'm asked to do, I'm letting God down. You can't let God down. Do you know that? Don't be anxious about that. God doesn't need you to do any of these things. You're only doing these things for your growth. You see? He desires your love much more than your sweat and toil. What's the greatest commandment? Love your Lord with all your heart and soul and with all your mind. Number 8, life is such a burden, I can't possibly be happy. Life is a gift. God wants you to accept it with a joyful heart. Pride, because that's what this is. Do you see this as pride? Oh, poor me. I'm not getting what I deserve. Life is a terrible burden. I can't be happy. I just can't possibly be happy. Me, 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 me. God gave you this gift. Okay, what is this? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's what He gave you. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He wants you to accept it with a joyful heart. Pride and unreasonable expectations. If God has you in a place that's hard right now and you expect that you deserve or have a right to be out of it, you're sinning and you are driving yourself nuts. Okay? God puts you where He wants you for a purpose. This is the day He made for you. Rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, I must appear to have it all together and not show my mistakes. You know anybody like that? Of course you do. The stress of keeping up appearances is a sin. If I'm trying to compete, what does it say? If I'm going to do that, I have to be covetous. I have to be envious, don't I? It's just sin piled upon sin. A spirit of humility is God's command to you. You don't have to keep up with anybody, do you? Okay. The other thing about stress is, and these other things, they're very real physical problems that are caused by stress. You know, you have a physical response to something that you started in your mind. Can you believe that? But it's true. I have, you know, talked to people with aches, blood pressure problems, insulin level problems, immune system problems. I have a close friend, Dr. Pete. He says, he was a general practitioner for 40 years. He said, I would estimate somewhere, you know, maybe 60 to 80%, but up to 80% of my patients are in my office because of stress-related problems. That's incredible to me. Example is the fear of heights. That's me. I am scared. In fact, my hands are sweating right now. I wrote in here, just looking at a picture of like a cliff or something makes my hands sweat. My hands are sweating just because I said fear of heights. That's amazing to me. Who's been on the Going to the Sun Road? Anybody been on the Going to the Sun Road? It's in Great Glacier National Park. And it is the glacier, you know, they just carved out, the glacier just carved out these 5,000-foot straight cliffs. And you go right up the side of this cliff. And it scared me so, in fact, oh man, I'm sweating everywhere. It scared me so badly. I was riding with a friend. I got in the floorboard of his car like this. I was just, because I didn't even want to look out the window. Oh, it scared me to death. Okay, but here's the point. That's irrational terror. That's irrationally terrified, isn't it? It's a physical problem caused by your mind. Look, I'm irrationally terrified, but Bob Simon wasn't. Neither's Ray. Thank you. I thought somebody would ask. My mother was married to him for a number of years. He was a stepfather and a great guy. And what he was in the rivet business. And he did his business in towns that did heavy steel work stuff. And he would, you see the width of this? He would walk out on a steel beam that wide, 80 stories up. Hey, how you like those rivets I gave you the other day? And he just, you know, just all you have to do is just trip slightly, and you just, nothing's going to hit you until you get to the sidewalk. And it didn't bite. Oh, I'm just sweating, my goodness. It was incredible. It didn't bother him at all. Ray says he's not bothered by it.
But I don't know if I'd do the steel work.
You know, he would sit, he's one of these guys that would, you know, you got to balance, now you're going to sit down. That takes some room. He would just sit down and eat his lunch up there with the guys. Unbelievable. Okay, I'm not going to read all these physical symptoms, but you've got them in your book, and kind of look through that, because you'll see things like this that can all be caused by these problems that you have erected for yourself in your mind. So ask yourself, which of these torments you? And then cast your anxieties to the Lord. Allow His peace to permeate your heart. So now we're going to look at some of that stuff. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to now look at, why am I doing these things in my head? What is going on? So let's start with, what is the wrong belief? My life is out of control. I feel helpless to cope with all of this stress in my life. What's wrong with that belief, besides the fact that it's wrong? It's all focused on me. It is, my life is out of control. Well, if you want to think about it that way, then look around this room, because everybody's life is out of control, because we can't control it. There are many, many things we can do that are responsible and are well thought out and are reasonable and whatever. But as I say with Lainey all the time, if God wants us to live under the bridge, we'll be there before lunch. Because if he's going to put us where he's going to put us. So don't, your life is out of control. I feel helpless. It's because you are. Don't tell me you feel helpless. You are helpless. You are helpless. No, but I don't mean that in a bad sense. There are many things we can do. We know that if we read our Bibles and if we pray and if we iron sharpen iron one with another, if we know that if we get up and get dressed every morning and go to job and do the very best we can do with what God has given us, we know that we're going to be in God's will, and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. But to sit here and think I can manage my life is folly. All of this stress in my life, my. Here's the right belief. God has allowed the stress in my life to bless me and reveal my weaknesses, conform me to Christ. Do you see that? I'm grateful for the pressures that have pressed me closer to Him and have caused me to allow Christ to be my strength. If Christ isn't your strength, it's because you're not allowing Him to be. It's because you're not allowing Him to be. Okay, biblical solutions. Now, there's sort of right and wrong belief. But now, there's several. If you're counseling somebody about stress and you've come down and you've found out that they have stress and that they need to understand, even though there may be some other causes below and you've dealt with them, even if you've dealt with those down below, like the I'm going to work myself to death to get approval, but you're going to still have to deal with stress at some point. So let's look at stress. I didn't reprint Matthew 6, 25 to 34, but you know what it is. And in 25 to 31, it's Christ talking about life is more than food and clothing. The birds, aren't you worth much more than the birds? The lilies of the field, won't He clothe you even more? Whatever. So what He's basically saying is stop. And He really is. Christ is saying, stop worrying about your life. Stop it. Okay? What you need, you will have. Verse 33 then says, seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow in verse 34, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's look in that in a little more detail. What really is He telling us? He's telling us to seek first His kingdom. Right? Take care of our souls and our eternity, which are infinitely more valuable than this body and this life. You understand what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm.
Trust God to provide the necessities. In His wisdom, God puts us where He wants us, and I could have written, and with what He wants us to have. Some people He blesses with many things. Some people He doesn't. Some people He puts in a high spot. Some people He puts in a valley. But He does it all in His wisdom. Stop trying to think you're smarter than He is. Trust what He's doing. Trust what He's doing. So we can't change our circumstances. Yes, we can go buy a new house. But that may not be changing our circumstances. You see? I don't know if anybody's ever done this, but back when I was real active in business, I would buy, my sickness was airplanes, but I would also buy houses, and I would just keep buying a bigger house and whatever. How long did that new house really make me happy?
A day.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. How about buying the new cars? I can remember. This is just dumb. But I was not. I had not gotten married until I was 35. So I had a brand new Mercedes convertible, and I was driving down the street and I bought a Jaguar sedan. I sat there the whole time and I worried about which one should I drive. It was just stupid. But why did I do it? Because I wanted to keep up with, because I knew a guy that had this, and that was the airplane sickness. I'd get this airplane, then this guy that I knew had a bigger one, so I needed. We can chase that tail forever. We cannot change our circumstances. My circumstances never changed. It was just my goodies that changed. It was foolish. Only sovereign God can change our circumstances. Therefore, reconcile ourselves to our circumstances. Cure ourselves of our worldly desires. That right there, which I didn't make up again, I pulled that out of a book, but if you'll think about that, that would give you such peace in your life if you just said, God, I'm praying. I can pray all day long. Lord, I don't want to live under the bridge anymore. I pray that you take me out of living under the bridge. But while I'm in living under the bridge, what I need to do is reconcile myself to this is where he has me, and I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to be the best bridge liver under that there is. Seriously. Do not. Then he says, do not worry, because tomorrow has enough worries. He's saying, trust yourself completely to God's wise provision for your lives on this earth. God has you here for a reason. Trust him. Worry expresses a lack of faith or trust. When Christ says, do not worry, he is saying, you are putting yourself ahead of me. May the Holy Spirit convict us of that sin and free us from the burdens of worry. Do you see? What did I do? I just went zooming. Okay. I must have hit end. I'm so sorry. The next one is the Peter verse, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Everybody got that one? I'm sorry about that. Peter's command in 5 is, well, first of all, he says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Humble yourselves. Quit seeking your glory. What does the Westminster Confession say? First thing, what's the purpose of man? To glorify God and to love him forever. Enjoy him forever, yeah. So quit seeking your own glory. Instead, horizontal, others, vertical God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. Seek to serve others, God and others. Seek his wisdom regarding your priorities. If you want to get rid of stress, just ask God to help you see your priorities. You know what God's going to tell you? Do one thing at a time. Pick the most important one, get it done. If you can't get it done, why are you worrying about the other ones? You couldn't have possibly gotten them done if you can't even get the most important one done. Seek his enabling power to do the things which he calls us. Right? The mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. Seek his wisdom and his power. Cast your anxiety on him. I love this. What is he saying? He's saying take everything that worries you and give it to him. Give it to him. Transfer control. Because why do I have these worries? Because I'm trying to control things. Say, God, I'm not going to try to control them anymore. I'm giving them to you, and you control them. Because that's where the control is. Mm-hmm. Okay? Transfer control from ourselves, who can control nothing, to him who can control everything. How easy! This is not a promise that God will fix everything that worries us, is it? But it is a promise that you don't have to worry about it. Because now it's trustworthy that he will handle them in the way that is best. Maybe not the way you want it. See, we never know. When Lainey lost her business, everybody knows this story. Lainey lost her business and we thought, what in the world are we going to do? What a horrible thing after 30 years. And now look at her as head of the pregnancy center and what's going on in the pregnancy center. And what could be more satisfying? What could be more glorifying to God? And at the time we thought, this is a disaster. Stop it. Stop thinking about yourself. Trust God to handle it. Then it says, trust because he cares for you. Trust in his care for us. The care is two different things. It's his care and his love and affection. He cares for you. But he also cares for you. He is the person who provides for your protection and welfare. Do you see? You know how care can be used two different ways. He's doing both things. He loves you, but he also takes care of you. Right? Trust him. If we obey, we can't be defeated by stress if we obey. He will exalt us at the proper time. When's the proper time, by the way? We don't know. It's his timing. That's right. Do I need to be exalted right now? First of all, in my flesh, would I like to be exalted right now? Yeah, oh boy, that'd be great. But I already know it won't. But do I need to be exalted right now? Do I have a right to be exalted right now? Can I demand it? Do I deserve it? No, none of those things. He will exalt us at the proper time. Praise the Lord. That's all I care about. Okay, who knows what that is? Who is it?
Alfred E. Newman.
Who knows Alfred E. Newman? About four people. Y'all are too young in this group. What? Me worried? Okay. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And this is really so many times when you're counseling. Let it be a comfort to you. So many times you're going to hear this verse. Be anxious for nothing. There it is, okay? I'm going to stop right there for a second. Paul's command gives us clear direction. You're going to see. This is a great verse. But first, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because holding on to anxiety or its cousins, because that word anxiety includes worry and fear and stress and whatever. Hanging on to anxiety solves what? Absolutely nothing. How many times has worrying about something fixed it? Never. Okay. Quit being foolish. Trust God. Be anxious for nothing. If you feel anxious for something, what should that do for you? That's a signal to me that I'm holding on to something. That should drive me to prayer. If I feel, you know, sometimes you feel that feeling in your stomach. If you get that feeling, go to prayer right then. Lord, I feel that anxiety. Take it from me. I'm not going to try to control it. I'm trusting you. Take it from me. So first is just be anxious for nothing. And what a great thing. But how do you do that? Well, he tells you. He tells you right here. Okay? He says, give your worries over to the only one who can actually do something about it. So first is you pray in everything. In everything, right? Pray in every situation. Doesn't say pray in some of them. Doesn't say pray every time that you have a traffic ticket. No, it says pray every time that you win the Nobel Prize. Or pray every time that you get pancreatic cancer. Or whatever's in between. Doesn't matter. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. So bring your supplications, your requests, your petitions to God. In every situation, take it to God. And offer prayers of thanksgiving for what He's already done. So it is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that with thanksgiving is so important. Because what it's doing when you pray with thanksgiving, I've just crashed my car, I didn't have any insurance, and I broke my leg. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why this is wonderful, but I trust you. Because praying with thanksgiving in times of difficulty is showing your trust, showing your dependence on God. Paul makes no promise that God will grant every request. He doesn't say that. But what does he do? He says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice he doesn't say, make your request known, be known to God, and he'll fulfill them, and then the peace of God. He doesn't talk about fulfilling what you've asked for, does he? No. He does promise that when we pray with thanksgiving, God's going to change us. What's prayer for? Prayer is to change us. He's going to change us. He's going to change our heart. He will cause us to know. He will, Romans 8:28 things, right? God will change our hearts so that our circumstances do not cause us turmoil. That's just incredible uplifting. He will give us a peace that transcends all understanding. You want that peace? Just do Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Pray with thanksgiving in everything. You think that the bottom has fallen out of your life? Pray about it and give Him thanks because He's doing something. You see? Okay, so now that's what the Bible's saying. And then there are also things, we're talking about prayer. Well, let's think about it. I'm going to give you three examples of prayer. First, pray that I yield things. What am I doing? I'm getting rid of myself. Here's how I get rid of myself. First, I yield to God's will. I'm going to confess and turn away from my sin. I'm going to yield to God's sovereign control over my circumstances. God, You're the one who put me here. Okay? I'm going to yield I'm going to yield anything that I say to God's rights. I yield my right to control my circumstances. Okay? Doesn't mean influence. We can influence our circumstances just by working hard and doing the things that we know how to do with the gifts we've been given. But I yield my right to complain about my circumstances. I yield my right to be accepted by others. That is not something that I have to worry about. I'm accepted by God. I yield my right to be successful, whatever that means. I yield my right to be heard and understood. Was Christ heard and understood? I yield my right to be right. Think about that prayer. How many times do we get ourselves all tangled up because we have to be right? Pray that I stop trying to meet my own needs instead of waiting on the Lord. Pray that I stop thinking that God cannot get along without me. I'm serious, a lot of people. Pray that I stop seeking self-worth through proving myself. Stop being people-pressured instead of spirit-led. Big one. Stop giving into the pressure of the urgent instead of the important. Stop accepting unnecessary stressful obligations. Who has trouble saying no? Me. Stop accepting impossible deadlines. Practical solutions there. Uh-oh, I did it again. Okay. Now, pray that I start. I don't think that really first one matters. Okay, I'm convicted. Eating a balanced and healthy diet, taking one day of rest each week, getting adequate sleep most nights, setting aside daily time for personal prayer and scripture, choosing my commitments carefully, and tackling one problem at a time. We know these things, don't we? Mm-hmm. Take them in prayer to the Lord. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Now, this was the chart I did before, the trusting in yourself, the spiraling down. Remember this, trusting in yourself and how it increases your stress and makes you miserable. But here's the same looking chart, but with the truth, trusting in the Lord. God's truth is trust in the Lord. Satan's deception was trust in yourself. If you trust in the Lord to manage your life, here's the difference. You trust in the eternal, infinite Creator God. You trust in the sovereign God who controls everything. You trust in the all-wise God whose divine plan for mankind is unfolding perfectly. Everything He ever planned before the foundation of the time is occurring. You trust in a faithful God who will never leave you nor forsake you. And because of that, stress recedes when you trust in the Lord. It doesn't completely go away. Remember, we need some stress. Because, why does it recede? Because God causes all things to work together for good. Right? Stress, worry, anxiety, and fear serve no purpose. God's results are infinitely better than anything we could ever desire or imagine. Right?
Those would be unjustified fears, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yeah.
Soldiers use fear to their advantage.
That's right. That's right. And that's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like the guy comes in the door with a shotgun at you, and you've got legitimate cause for fear. Absolutely. But this is an up. Where'd my spiral go? I see it on my deal. Can you see it?
Really,
oh, it's a very light thing. Yeah, it shows up better over there. It's an upward spiral.
Yeah.
More trust will defeat your stress and free you for more peace and joy. You see that? Yeah, it's a real light green. There we are. And we got
it. Nice on the printed one.
Yeah, it looks good on the printed one. Let me close this in prayer if I can. Holy Father, there's much to absorb in this lesson today. We thank you because everything that we've talked about today comes from your word. You are the one who's designed us. You're the one who has given us the self. You're the one who gave us a self that we corrupted in Adam when mankind fell, and our self is constantly battling you for supremacy. Lord, may we finally learn our lesson. May we realize that that's a foolish battle. May we realize that you have promised us. You promised us our salvation. You promised us that you will work everything for good in your time. You promised us that you will never leave us or forsake us. You promised us that everything that happens to us in this life is for our good and for your glory, even if we can't see it. So let us trust in the unseen, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.